Republicans. It just means I'm identifying with people and points of view that I don't think they'd ever accept.
Is the party organization, both in terms of the local organization and state, staffing and so on, stronger now than it was 10 years ago?
Republican?
Yeah.
It's as strong, maybe even stronger. They're certainly a heck of a lot further along. 10 years ago, they were just beginning to move. I guess they really began to gear up heavily after the 64 election. Rockefeller started getting involved.
When were they at their peak?
You're 68.
Well, there's been a slide downhill since then?
Because Rockefeller started pulling his money out in 70, along about 72. And he was pouring heavy money into the party. They really had a fantastic operation for a while.
His registration
had research people, field staff people, and all the congressional districts, and they're pulling back. They, even at that, they've got a heck of a lot more staff than the Democratic Party's got.
But the results are that you've still got one legislator in both houses.
And one congressman.
Which is about where you were, 66.
60, well, 66, Rockefeller. He brought in Footsie Britt, the lieutenant governor, and Hammerschmidt in 66.
So 64.
Before 66, nothing.
So there's been no permanent impact of all that activity, is what my point.
No.
Once he pulled that out, it was gone.
Where do you see the Republican Party going in this state?
I don't see anywhere but down for them. I don't see how they can keep raising even the amount of money that they're getting, and apparently they're in a considerably better financial position than the Democrats in terms of party.
So is Winball Rockefeller a key to what they do in the sense that he has access to money if he wants to put it in, just like his father?
I don't see any other future for him, except to go back and play the role that they have played in the past, and they were doing it even more with Rockefeller, and they can continue it. And that, there can be two purposes for political parties. One, of course, is to win, and in terms of that, I don't see any future for them, unless Rockefeller, Winthrop Paul, wants to do something, and even there, it'll be a very personal thing, and I'm not sure what his future would be. I think he's, from what I gather, and John can fill you in on this more, John knows more about him, but apparently he's pretty lightweight at this point. Of course, I gather that his father was pretty lightweight at 26 or 27, too.
In what sense?
Well, he's just not the brightest guy going, from what I gather. That's all secondhand. Not a natural leader type, indecisive, has an awful lot to learn about Arkansas and Arkansas politics. He only came to the state, I guess, 3 years ago, and for the most part has been on the mountain ever since. This past year, he went to his credit, he went to, I think it's Texas A&M, went back to school to learn how to manage a farm. Apparently, he's committed to staying in the state. But I'm not even real sure that Winter Paul could pull it off, even with his money. Depending on what the Democrats do. The Democrats, if they want to play into their hands, if the Democrats reach a point where they become extremely confident, everything's back to normal, we can do whatever we want, we don't have to worry about the Republicans, then they might go back to nominating, conceivably, somebody like Jim Johnson or Marion Crank. that could lead to a resurgence of the Republican Party. The only thing that I could have seen coming out of Orville Faubus, if Orville Faubus had gotten the nomination this year, the Republicans would have had new life. That would have...
You were saying there are two purposes of a party, and one was to win.
One's to win. The other is simply to serve as the check. In the late 1960s, we got almost an entire new election code in this state. Election irregularities, it was just common. There, Madison County, which was Orville Faubus' home county, has actually cast more than 100% of the possible votes up there. Things that were happening back in the 60s are just phenomenal. They were graveyards literally being voted. An awful lot of that's been cleaned up, and it was cleaned up because of the Republican Party. They can play a role. The Democratic answer to that in this state has always been, well, we have that because we have the ins and the outs in the Democratic Party, and so in effect we have two parties. But that's fallacious. The outs in the Democratic Party are never organized. They never have a research capability. They simply can't play the watchdog role, and the Republican Party can. Now
viable in that role.
Yes, and I think they're committed to it. Now the problem is going to be that it's hard to keep money or enthusiasm or participation going when you have no chance of ever winning anything.
How about the local elections? Do they win anything? Do they have any mayors?
Not much. They have a county judge in Washington County, which is Fayetteville, and a few others scattered, I think, but very, very few. Even in the Republican counties, they don't win.
What's their problem? I mean, is it a function of leadership? Or is it a function of just demographics?
I don't know. They have not attracted... They just haven't attracted the type of people that have been able to really pull anything off.
You mean candidates?
Yeah. Although they had generally acceptable, some of the people who ran in 72, if they'd been running on the Democratic ticket, they might have had a viable chance. But nobody, you know, a Dale Bumpers has not emerged out of the Republican Party anywhere.
Let's talk about Bumpers a little bit. How do you analyze Bumpers?
Had a fantastic sense of timing. He's better at the media than anybody I've seen, the politics I've covered. Let me tell you a story that Charles Kelly, who's news director of Channel 11, Little Rock, tells. He says that at a press conference, Bumpers will be sitting there and that they'll have gone along and just kind of all sitting back and relaxing and pursuing something. And some question will come up, and they'll turn on the TV to get it. And he says he just seems to have a sense. Boy, he knows exactly when that thing comes on, and he'll have just been kind of sitting back, relaxing, and just chatting with them. And he says, boy, that camera will come up. And he said, it'll just kind of come up, you know, and look right into the camera and just sincerity. Give him an answer, perfect 45-second cut. He says, I've never seen anybody with a sense of timing like that in my life. He said, that guy just, he can give you a 45-second answer, just perfect cut.
Is it natural or acquired?
I think it's natural. DeLoss Walker can't teach that. DeLoss has been a big help to him, apparently, but he just has a feel for that tube that's just unbelievable, and he comes across brilliantly on it. During this campaign, early in the campaign, he started out, and they kept pushing. Why are you running against Fulbright? What do you have against Fulbright? What do you disagree with him on? And they were hammering at this all along. And he finally stumbled on and started talking about seniority system. Well, it didn't come across very well in print. But about two or three, I guess it's close to a week later, he finally had a press conference and submitted questions, and they started hammering at this whole thing again. And the cut they had on TV that night, I'm telling you what, he came out and started talking about seniority system, and it didn't come across in print, but man, on TV, it just sounded like the worst thing that you can ever conceive of having been devised. The seniority system, he just, I think that guy could get on and sell a broken down used car that didn't have a motor in it. Just fantastic on the tube. Extremely good credibility. He has taken steps that, well, that one of these stories after the election, I think it was John Elrod, who was supposed to have been Fulbright's campaign manager, and then he came down in poor health. But I think Elrod was quoted as saying they had spent 2,500 man hours looking for a chink in his armor, and they just couldn't find it.
Well, how do you
just
assess?
Wasn't there.
How do you assess him as governor?
I think he's been extremely effective. He had some things going for him. When he came in, the Democrats have been, and the legislature have been catching hell from Rockefeller for 2 years for as obstructionist and everything else. So they were extremely ready to cooperate with any Democrat that could get in. The fact that Bumpers was attractive, that he'd come in with a extremely heavy vote, only solidified that position. But to give you an example, though, that explains 1971 session. By 1973, all the conventional wisdom was that the honeymoon's over, and we're at a second term now, and the Democrat and the legislature is not going to be that kind this time. They're really going to get him. The man got everything he wanted through the legislature, with the exception of one bill, which was it was to set up a state commission to start purchasing, acquiring public lands. And he got the commission. He asked for a $10 million appropriation for it, and he didn't get that. That's the only thing the man asked for in the 73 session he didn't get.
What did he do in those 4 years in terms of issues and programs?
The first thing was governmental reorganization, which extremely unwieldy. He got that through cutting it down from 60 to 13 departments, establishing essentially a cabinet, which was all and making everything directly responsible to him. A $90 million tax program, which was the most massive thing that has ever gone through in this state.
And who was paying the taxes? This was making income tax more progressive in part.
Yes,
right?
Mostly.
How about corporate tax?
Increased that too. I can't tell you the details on it. And then community college program, kindergarten program. We never had kindergartens in the state. Got the whole program through and began funding for it. More emphasis on both tech schools, general increases in programs throughout. The guy who's state insurance commissioner, Art Monroe, is probably, at this point, he's doing things that insurance commissioners in no other states are doing. The guy has just cracked down like you've never seen. There's been a good bit of pressure applied, but ARC says none of it has ever come through to him. The complaint about Bumpers is that Rockefeller started it back in 70, and he was running on his smile and his shoe shine. It's been a standard line about Bumpers ever since. He's been accused of being wishy-washy, a man who won't take a position, who's totally political and tries to play both sides. I don't think the record backs that bears that out. 1973 session, the cities and counties finally got together for probably the first time in their career, because they never had been able to agree on anything. But the city, county forces, municipal league, our county judge association, etc., to push a bill designating 7% of all state revenues off the top for turned back to cities and counties. You take on city county lobby, and you've taken on a pretty potent force. That bill sailed through the legislature. Bumpers vetoed it and won. They passed it back through the Senate, but couldn't override the veto in the House. And in Arkansas, all it takes is a simple majority to override a veto. He has appointed generally strong people in state positions, and as I say, has backed them up, Ark Monroe being one of the best examples. Ark is, for example, earlier this year, just simply ordered all insurance companies doing business in the state of Arkansas to reduce their premiums X percent because of the rollback in the speed limit. They just did their staff work, and he said, accidents are down and you will roll them back. And got away with it. Some of the insurance people are just madder than hell. Ark said that he's heard in a roundabout way about some of the pressure that's been applied to Bumpers, but Bumpers has never mentioned a bit of it to him. Never even says anything.
He said somebody did $2,600 of research to find
the weakness. Elrod said they did 2,500 hours. There have been 2,500 hours now,
of research to what? To find a weakness in Bumpers?
Try to find.
And they couldn't find anything?
Nothing.
What is it? You believe that?
Mm-hmm. Personally, I do. An example, at one point, an insurance man, coincidentally, who is chairman of the Democratic Party in Pulaski County, came out with this thing about a month before the election. It said that the governor making $10,000 was fallacious, that he actually made $52,000 because he got this mansion account, and he got a public relations account, and he got a travel account. Here's this big thing. We've been feeling sorry for our governor all this time, and here he's just given these lump sums, huge lump sums of money. I tell you, 2 days later, Bumpers, on his own initiative at the beginning of his term, because he didn't like the arrangement, had hired an auditor to handle and audit those accounts. And just turned them over and said, if you're interested in them, you go look. And man, the press went and dug in and wrote big long stories about how much they paid for hams and how much they paid for this and that and how much for repair and clean up and everything at the mansion and how much he spent on his trips. And it was all over. When the thing first came out, I thought, by God, they finally come up with something. It's typical of his whole approach that he had hired an auditor to be on the safe side. 4 days before the election, Friday, before the election on Tuesday, a suit was filed in Sebastian County, Fort Smith, by some guy who said that 4 years ago, Bumpers and Archie Schaefer, his nephew, administrative assistant, and Ben Allen, who's a state senator and a close ally of Bumpers, had offered him money, or had offered to get a federal warrant dropped against him if he would contribute to Bumpers' campaign in 1970. Bumpers just denied it, said it was absurd. And the thing just didn't even, with the exception of the fact the Gazette played the heck out of it, which was one of their lowest journalistic points, But, you know, it says something about Bumper's credibility. The thing just didn't even make a wave. People just kind of look at it and say, you know, it's absurd. Bumpers wouldn't do it. They just got fantastic credibility, and personally, I think it's deserved. I think the man really, if anything, he maybe gets becomes a little bit too messianic on occasions, but I think the man is absolutely clean. I'd be very, very surprised if anything could ever be dug up.
Why do you think he ran against Colbert?
It was the only thing open to him. Obviously, he's ambitious. He's got every friend he'll ever make in the governor's office. There's just nothing he can do but go downhill from here on. The argument was that he should have waited 4 years and run for McClellan's seat. But I think there's serious doubt that he could have even won in 4 years, even with his credibility.
Wow.
There had been a two-term tradition in Arkansas politics, and Orville Faubus did an awful lot to reaffirm that. Now, it says something about liberals that they, you know, when Orville went out, they swore never again. But, of course, in 1974, they were pleading, you know, run for a third term, Dago, you're our man. But consistency has never been a liberal hallmark. If he had gone for a third term, he was going to, opponents, and particularly the conservatives, were gearing up to just hammer him over the head for 2 months on third term, and he's trying to become another Orville Faubus. It's just a very high visibility office. You're operating against traditions that have existed.
Is he perceived as the best governor Arkansas has ever had?
If people could be objective about it, I would say yes. Now, of course, at this point, there are 35% very bitter people in this state.
Are they bitter enough to vote for a Republican against
to some extent.
That would be now,
although
not necessarily in November,
that
though.
This fall, when they get to know John Harris Jones a little better, that may become more difficult for them. But to give you an idea of the kind of transition that was occurring, a person who went through our program had supported both Bumpers and Fulbright. Was one of those people in that dilemma, who do I support? But for her, it was no problem. She said, you know, she liked Bumpers, but Fulbright was her man. She was just sorry that she had to, that one of them had to go, because she liked both of them. By the end of the campaign, she had talked herself into a total frenzy. She believed, she was comparing Bumpers to Hitler. My God, this man scares me to death. I don't think anything's there. She had just talked herself into a total hatred of the guy. And this was happening throughout. You ought to read some of the Gazette editorials. Man alive, I'm telling you.
You know,
we've got them all in there. This was part of Fulbright's problem too, because they were trying to hurt somebody that the man just was not vulnerable on anything. And it, you know, I think you can criticize an attack in a political campaign if there's some chink there that you can grab hold of, and you're operating on some suspicion that's in the public mind. But it just all came across as so false that. In 1970, the Gazette, which had supported Winthrop Rockefeller, in the general election, they supported Bumpers over Rockefeller. And they strongly supported, when the Gazette, everything is black and white. You know, there are no grays in politics. Everybody's either pure or evil. They adopted Dale Bumpers, and man, they loved the guy. With the exception of his support of the community college program, which the Gazette opposed, the man could do no wrong. Within the course of a 30-minute announcement, Dale Bumpers, March 11th, became the lowest scum of the earth. And all of a sudden, they started finding all sorts of things they didn't like about him. You know, it just came across as so false that it just never sell.
Did it mean anything?
The Gazette?
Did it hurt Bumpers?
My own theory is that, and you know, I don't know how you'd prove it without a poll, and I don't have access to them, but I think there's 30 to 35% of the people who would have voted for Fulbright against God. And there's probably 30, 35% of the people who would have voted for Hitler if that's the only other name on the ballot run against Fulbright, which would leave 35, 40% movable vote. You know, if that is a correct assumption, Bumpers got every movable vote in the state. All Fulbright got was just his solid base.
Well, didn't the published polls show that? So what was going to happen?
Well, there was only one published, and that was I don't know exactly. It was based on a Newsom poll that was released. Bumpers made his announcement at 9 o'clock, and it was on the 6 o'clock news that night based on 167 surveys. Now you tell me how valid it is. It showed 60 to 27 Bumpers over Fulbright with 13% undecided. I have no idea if that's the way it stood that day or not. I don't place a great deal of faith in that poll. And that's the only one that was ever published. Well, Ken Bailey did some up in Northwest Arkansas. Walker told me the night of the election that their polls had been consistent, that from the very beginning it was 2-1. It never wavered, although there was a fairly high undecided. He said about a month before the election, both of them dropped slightly, but again, that was proportionate. And he said towards the end, when they were trying to pin the undecideds down as to which one they were leaning towards, that broke out 2-1 numbers. He said there was never any variance for that.
So what it suggests is that the enormous amount of money that Fulbright put into that campaign did nothing.
Where does Pryor fit into the political picture? He's the next governor of Arkansas, presumably.
Two things. One, David is important to the state, I think, because of the image he has. He is a moderate, is perceived as a moderate. And so from the standpoint of the image and the continuity of Rockefeller Bumpers, I think that's important. Personally, I think David is a weak administrator. I think he's Bush League compared to Bumpers. And personally, I think this is the last office David will ever hold. Although he clearly is aiming, it just so happens that two terms as Arkansas governor would bring him to 1978, which is when McClellan seats up again. And I don't think there's much doubt that that's what's in his mind. Personally, I don't think he'll have a chance of winning.
We'll be running,
I'm not even real positive David will be able to hold on to the governor's office for 4 years.
Who will be running against him? Alexander?
Alexander, Thornton, probably others.
Probably Alexander or Thornton. Is that how it will end
or
up
both,
shaping up?
Or both.
They may both actually go for it.
Alexander wants to be a senator. I understand that that's Ray Thornton is definitely aiming at it, too. And I'm sure David will run, provided he's still on the scene. But the thing is that what I was saying earlier, I think it was an extremely soft 51%. There were very few people who were around who were really excited about David. And even people who supported him and worked for him have no confidence whatsoever where David will come down in any real controversy. He's been had some real pressure applied to him. He had, ironically, at the beginning of this campaign, Faba started, made a big speech, a TV address about the governor makers, a group of businessmen, Arkansas businessmen, who had gotten together and decided that David was the man, and then proceeded to dry up the money for everybody else. The thing about it was true. They did get together with Stevens, the head of it, and meetings did occur. When it first came out, David just denied it and said, no such thing had happened. A couple of 3 weeks later or so, John Bennett came out with a story in the Commercial Appeal saying, here's when the meeting happened, here's what time it happened, here's where it happened, here's who was president, here's who was president, here's what happened at the meeting. Following that, David did remember something about the meeting, that recalled that he had gone to such a meeting, but he certainly didn't know anything about drying up money or being picked or anything. Of course, Orville had gone too, and these were the people who had supported Orville for years and years and years, and this time they were going with David. It's big business in this state. David also has the support of big labor. How he's going to keep both of them happy is be very interesting.
What is labor's role in Arkansas politics?
I don't know. Money and manpower more than influence. It's not major, but it's Becker is I think pretty well respected all the way around. You'll find him to be very articulate, he's sharp, a good man, and probably to a good extent the influence of labor is a result of Becker, he's been very articulate. They've got very definite limits. 2 years ago it was McClellan started hitting Pryor over the head with his labor money, and apparently it certainly had an effect. I don't know any way to isolate out that one factor, but man, they were beating David over the head. I'll tell you a funny story about that.
When McClellan first started hitting, I think he charged it. Pryor got something like $76,000 from labor at that point. And said apparently David really got upset and said, he wanted to answer that sort of stuff. And one of his aides said, hold back, David, it's really more than that. Really. Incidentally, be sure and ask Becker. Because they have had a poll run on attitudes towards labor in the state of Arkansas, and he is not, I don't think he's hesitant to discuss it or to give you some of the information out of it, because he brought it to our session a year ago and talked about it and gave us some of the stuff out of it. So be sure and ask him about it.
What about the role of newspapers and television stations?
It's a so-so press. The Democrats just been trying to stay alive. They've just been bought by the Palmer News Media. Palmer is a South Arkansas chain that had 5 papers and now have 6 with the Arkansas Democrat, which apparently will keep them alive. But until Palmer bought them, it was a constant speculation as to how long the Democrat would live. Gazette certainly took its lumps following 57. They lost revenue, they lost circulation, they lost advertising. they paid for their courage and paid hard. Unfortunately, the Gazette has been living off that reputation and glorying in its tribulations for how many years now? 16, 17. I'm not sure about the real influence the Gazette. I'm not sure it's as significant as some people might think. Their editorial page is so strident and so predictable, and it almost never has any of the insights that you'll get out of a Post editorial or a Times editorial or anything of that nature. It has no real insights, new information, new points of view or anything. It's just hit them over the head and move on. I think they do have, if I were running for local office, I'd do whatever I could to get the Gazette's editorial endorsement. But I think it's a real dubious value in any major state race. Robert Fisher, you said you've talked to him already. He had a thing in his Sunday column in the Democrat yesterday was concerned newspaper endorsements, which most of the newspapers in Arkansas endorsed Fulbright. I thought his whole column was very weak simply because you can't say, okay, the newspaper's endorsed here, the election returns, so endorsement did or did not have any effect. It's just a ridiculous position to wind up in, and yet that's essentially what he was talking about in his column. I don't know how much influence. I think it's minimal in any state race.
How about the reporting of politics or the investigative reporting of state government? Any?
Not a great deal. Periodically, the Gazette will get out on a crusade, but it's very sporadic. John Bennett is probably the toughest investigative reporter in Little Rock. Unfortunately, he's a one-man bureau, who's trying to cover everything and do some investigative stuff, too. But Bennett probably comes out with more hard-hitting stuff than anybody around there, even operating against the whole Gazette, the Democrat, and AP.
The Wires pick up his stuff?
Occasionally. The Gazette does a poor job of analysis. They'll go through a whole legislative session, and they pride themselves on being a newspaper of record. And to that extent, I think they're strong because they do run an awful lot of copy. The amount of stuff they'll run on a legislative session is just reams and reams of it. But at almost at no point during that whole session will they ever stop and say, here's what this big issue that we've been writing about for 6 weeks now is all about. Here's where people are lining up, and here's what the real gut issue is about, and here's why it's hung up, and here's what where they come out on it.
You mean
they never do it.
You mean the interpretive investigative stuff is done by a guy from an out-of-state newspaper?
AP does a heck of a lot better job than the Gazette. Gazette just never does that. They don't do it in a political campaign.
Isn't the Gazette and the Democrat the two statewide papers?
And the Democrat will do that more than the Gazette will. Because
beyond
it just doesn't
that,
do it.
What is there beyond that, though? As far as the commercial appeal of Democrat and the Gazette.
The Pine Bluff Commercial has a guy who works in Little Rock some named George Wells. I don't see the Pine Bluff Commercial that well. I see it very periodically. Apparently Wells does this occasionally. But the thing is that he's kind of part-time in Little Rock, I think. He's not even up there all the time. Nobody else really even has anybody down there. Everybody else just feeds off the AP. AP could put out anything in the papers of the state are running. I'm telling you, I just extremely disillusioned sometimes because I, well, you'll see, I get a lot of stuff about the number of the papers from out of the state. And I, if AP ran a big long story and said two people met each other on Main Street today, I declare I think a lot of papers out of the state have put it on page one to say, you know, two men meet. Very little on that.
How much impact did reapportionment have in Arkansas?
There was a pretty fair turnover in the legislature. I couldn't say definitively what effect it had on the legislature. The legislature is fairly urban now. Under the old system, every county, we have 75 counties in this state, there were 100 members of the legislature. Every county was guaranteed at least one state representative, and then the other 25 were given the larger counties.
Are there any real powers in the legislature?
The Senate, particularly. The single most powerful person in the Arkansas State Senate is Max Howell, who is an attorney in Jacksonville, which is just north of Little Rock, still Pulaski County. Extent we had Max up for session this year along with Doug Brandon to talk about the legislature. Doug was in the legislature for 12 years from Little Rock. He's former chairman of the Legislative Council. Quite effective. He ran for lieutenant governor and got his ass beat. Max, Doug would be fairly open and candid. Max,
who has the power in Arkansas?
Boy, it's one I have to think about.
What groups?
Utilities have had, and Whit Stevens still has.
Many legislators on the utilities payroll? Has anybody looked into that? They are.
Yeah. At one point they had quite a number of them. Marion Crank, who was the 68 Democratic gubernatorial nominee, probably one of the most effective legislators to have been in for 18, 20 years or something. Extremely effective guy. But he was employed by the Foreman Cement Company, which is a subsidiary of Arkla. Clarence Bell in the state senate works directly for the Arkla. I think they had 7 just directly on the payroll. Counting.
Not counting retainers.
Retainers, political contributions.
How about banks?
They've been strong in terms of banking legislation, but I don't think they've really tried to, block that they tried to.
Any single industrial group in the state is particularly strong or dominant? Like textiles would be in the Carolinas? No single dominant corporation like Coca-Cola in Georgia, more traditionally. I thought I had the impression that Arkansas to some extent resembles South Carolina and perhaps Georgia in the sense that the Democrats are in control and that the Democratic Party consists basically of a coalition of blacks, organized labor, courthouse Democrats, and the very top level of the financial and business community.
I think where that would break down is that I'm not sure the Democratic Party's, it's not worth anything to have the Democratic Party. You haven't got anything if you got it. The whole thing is still individuals. If you want power, then you get control of X number of legislators, but you know, the party, what's that? I don't know that anybody's ever wasted their time trying to get control of the party.
Well, not control of the party, but...
The blacks, of course, are only now coming back to the Democratic Party. And that was a transition that generally took about 4 years, 70 to 74, and I think it's pretty well complete by then. It'd give you an interesting...
Did Bumpers get much black support his first round?
Not much. That was
what has he done in that area?
Not that much overt. They have brought apparently a pretty good percentage of blacks into state jobs. Probably his most overt thing was the big controversy in 72 over the Lee County Cooperative, which is Marianna. Are you familiar with that thing? Well,
yeah.
It finally came down to hinging on Bumpers taking a position on the thing, and he supported the continuation of the cooperative.
How about on his staff? Does he have blacks on his staff in any key positions?
He has one. Who was in our program this year? It's Cora McHenry of Camden, and she was hired while as an education consultant. The question came up in his sessions with us, and he continued to say that he was looking. It was just a matter of finding.
Does he have any sort of human affairs, human relations commission? No sort of state anti-discrimination law.
No.
No civil rights commission?